Good morning. My name is Dr. Jessica Sapoth, and you're listening to Dental MD Radio Show. Now, I've been on the air here on 1150 AM, KKNW, for, 7 years, I think.
Yeah, it's about and, right.
Mm-hmm, and in my archives, you're going to find shows on every dental topic that you can imagine. So go online and look for a show with a title that matches what your questions are if you want to hear more details. Today's show is going to be about controversies in dentistry. And I've covered a lot of these things in other ways on other shows. But specifically, I want to readdress some of the major questions and concerns that patients have once they start hearing about some of the ideas about root canals or how extractions should be done or whether expansion is of the arches is possible in adults. And that those kinds of questions are really big, heated controversies in the industry of dentistry. And so, you know, another one is, well, it's not really a controversy about sedating kids for dentistry, but it is becoming more of an issue as more parents decide that they really don't want their child put under general anesthesia for dental treatment if there's any possible way to do that treatment without those drugs. Now, the main ones, the main controversies are root canals, mercury and other metal fillings, including nickel and titanium, and whether or not expansion can be accomplished in adults. And that is an orthodontic question. And actually, it's an orthopedic question, because moving bones, expansion is actually moving bones. So, another big controversy that has been around for a long time is how to address TMJ problems. And now, the TMJ is your jaw joint. So how to address pain and clicking, and whether to address pain and clicking through treatment of the body or maybe just through psychotherapy and tranquilizers. Yes, I'm not kidding. That is how some professionals want to treat it. So let's get into it. The reason I do this show, we'll just do a little intro on what this show has been about. The reason I do this show is because I really feel that patients that come into the office, they've got certain kinds of questions, and it is apparently not easy to get full information on various dental topics. And one of the reasons is because no matter who you go to, no matter what dental office you walk into, there is a tendency to try to steer patients into the treatments that that office likes to do or that that office finds to be the most lucrative. Because a lot of times, the staff is on a bonus system, which means that if they can sort of help the dentist to get you to agree to a treatment plan that is very lucrative, high dollar amount, their bonuses that month will be bigger. And so dentists put their staff on these bonus plans in order to get them on board with promoting what the office does, which is dental treatments. And the bigger the ticket, the bigger the bonuses. So that, you know, it's a management system, a style of management, and it works great if you're selling cars or computers or something like that. But it, in my opinion, that has no place in healthcare. Healthcare should be, in my opinion, and I'll say that a lot, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, it should be trying to find and utilize the least invasive procedures possible. But in dentistry, it has been said the more tooth dust you make, the more money you make. So that's a sad and pathetic dental joke. And I really think that, you know, my practice is based on natural medicine principles. And that means the least toxic and least invasive procedures are the first ones used. If something doesn't work or it isn't enough to get your body to make the necessary corrections and healing, et cetera, that is needed, then we go to the next level. And in my opinion, that's the way it should be done. You should not necessarily start with the most invasive thing just because it always works. Sometimes something less invasive will also work in some circumstances. Now, obviously, if you've broken off a piece of tooth, you can't just wave your hands over it and expect it to heal itself. That has to be physically, mechanically restored, fixed. But there are still, no matter what the situation is, there are still a variety of approaches, some of which are less invasive and some of which are more invasive and therefore more expensive and therefore bigger bonuses and therefore better numbers for the practice, especially if they're, you know, trying to support more than one practitioner and they have high overhead or they've, you know, they're trying to pay off loans or whatever their financial issues are, should not in any way, shape, or form be a factor in what they suggest for you, the patient, in terms of your choices for treatment. And, you know, sometimes they will give you less invasive choices, but with a twist on them, like, well, you know, but most people hate when they have that done, or, you know, it won't last very long, or can't guarantee it, or, you know, in a year you'll be back to get the real treatment, the good treatment. Or, I'm sorry, you can't afford the good treatment. We're going to have to do this second-class treatment for you. This, you know, and less invasive treatments have come to be thought of in dental offices as the choice for people who can't afford the good treatment, which obviously is the one that makes the office the most money. And, you know, not all offices are like this, but let's, you know, be honest. Dental offices are running a business. So there is always that pressure to make enough money to pay for everything. And that's fine. The way things have been set up, though, there's been a real squeeze on dental offices. You know, insurance isn't reimbursing as much, and they're not reimbursing for certain things, and expenses for dental offices have gone up. We once received a catalog accidentally for a veterinary office, and they had the exact same clinical exam gloves, same brand, same everything. It was identical. So we called up and we said, can we order these? And they said, no, you cannot. You are a dental office. You have to order out of the dental catalog, not the veterinary catalog. And that's fine, except that in the dental catalog, the exact same product was twice the price. So dentistry is, you know, it's very, very expensive to run a dental office. And there are a lot of pressures and a lot of expenses and staff costs and all of that. And so it's very understandable that any kind of management system will try to maximize profit. But, and you know, in this system that we have right now, I would not be able to offer you the kinds of holistic and natural choices that I do if I couldn't have my own practice independent and separate from any kind of corporate structure that would dictate to me how and when I shall cut corners, etc. So even though it means I've got to run a business and make ends meet, it enables me to have the freedom to offer you holistic natural choices. And it's really a tightrope walk to be able to do that and offer the least invasive methods, procedures, the least toxic materials, which incidentally are not the cheapest materials and for which there are never any free samples, etc., which other offices sort of rely on. And so, but if I wasn't an independent business, I wouldn't be able to offer the choices that I offer. So, you know, my way of doing this and the reason that I've been able to stay in business with my practice for 20 years in the Issaquah area, Natural Dental Health Associates, is because I offer the least invasive, least toxic methods and procedures, and the people who know that that's what they want, you know, you have to pay what it costs to run, to be able to do those procedures. And there's a certain overhead per hour. And if a procedure takes me an hour to do, then I know what that fee needs to be for that procedure. You know, if on average it takes an hour to do a thing, then that's how I set my fees. I do not set my fees according to what the insurance companies will pay. I set it according to what it costs to run the office per hour, whatever, you know, however I've got that calculated out. And that's how I set my fees. And not surprisingly, the fees are a little bit high, and that's necessary because I will not cut corners. I will not use free samples of materials that haven't been tested adequately for cytotoxicity, but maybe have been approved by the American Dental Association, et cetera. So I have ways that I've been able to make it so that I can offer the least toxic, least invasive choices and give you plenty of time to investigate, do your own research, and make up your own mind. I never, ever push anybody into quickly getting, that's the other thing, is the urgency factor, trying to get patients to not only sign up for the most expensive, lucrative treatment plan, but to come in right away and get started on it because, you know, it's so urgent and something is, you know, going to be a big emergency if they don't hurry up and get in and do it. And that's the other part of the pressure on you as a patient from many offices, because that's part of achieving that bottom line, is getting you in quickly to get that work done. So, and I'm not saying some things aren't urgent, because sometimes it is urgent. So, anyway, we're going to head into a break. You're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. If you have questions about anything that I'm talking about, please give us a call at the office, 425-427-8899, or if you prefer, by email, appointments@naturaldentist.com to get your questions answered. All right, I'll be right back after this break.
So how long has it been since you've been to the dentist?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
I know, going to the dentist can be tough. But did you know that healthy teeth lead to a healthy body? I know what you're thinking. All dentists are alike. They lure you in for the free exam or, you know, complimentary cleaning. And before you know it, wham! Huge dental bill. And did you even need all that work? Well, why not try a different approach? Natural Dental Health Associates in Issaquah specializes in taking care of you. Their easy, no-gimmick, honest approach to dentistry will have you forgetting you're actually in a dentist's office. And the best thing is, they're all natural. Yep, no mercury, nickel, or other harmful chemicals are used. Click on your media player now and get started on the road to better dental health today. Or call 425-427-8899. Natural Dental Health Associates is a proud sponsor of the Dental MD Radio Show, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Alternative Talk, 1150. Local talk for the body, mind, and soul.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. And today I'm talking about controversies in dentistry, just the big questions that come up that, you know, some of these issues like root canals and mercury fluoride, I didn't mention fluoride in the first and expansion and TMJ expansion orthodontics and in adults and TMJ therapy and how to do extractions. That's actually a question in the community. And yeah, I'll think of more as we go. But let's start with just the biggest one, I think, is root canals. And a lot of people don't know that root canals are a big controversy in dentistry. Everybody probably, you know, because mercury and fluoride are more in the news because those are, mercury is not in the news as much, but fluoride is because of water fluoridation. So most people know about the disagreements about fluoride. But when it comes to root canals, you are led to believe that you are choosing to keep your tooth, to save your tooth. And if you, I mean, there are different ways to do root canals, but even in the mainstream conventional dental community, it is understood that root canal treated teeth have bacteria that live in the tooth structure. The controversy isn't whether there are bacteria that continue to live in the tooth structure. When a root canal is done, I would hope that it is first determined that the nerve has, you know, reached a stage where it's truly irreversible or already completely necrotic or dead. Necrotic and dead mean the same thing. You say necrotic if you want to speak clinically, and you say dead if you want an emotional reaction to the topic. So once the pulp tissue inside the tooth has degraded to the point where it cannot recover, then almost 100% of the time in the conventional world, a root canal treatment is recommended. And then what they do is they go through the top of the tooth into the chamber inside the tooth. There's a little chamber where the nerve tissue and blood vessels live or used to live. And they go in and they clean and shape that. And then they go down into a main canal in each of the roots. Molars have two or three roots. Premolars have one or two roots. And front teeth have one root each. And they go down a canal inside of the root all the way to the root tip. That's why they have to take a lot of x-rays as they go along to make sure that they're at the root tip and still at the root tip when they go to do the filling, etc. And then another one at the end to check and make sure the filling looks good, and then another one weeks or months later to see if the bone around the tooth is healing. Okay, that's a lot of extra x-rays when you have a root canal, but it's even more x-rays, I think, if you get an implant, if the tooth is removed and you decide on an implant. Anyway, so the canal in each root is cleaned and shaped, and they put, disinfectant liquids and things down in there, and then they remove all of that and dry the inside of the tooth, and then they fill the roots from the bottom up with a couple of different types of materials. There's a cement and there's filling material that can go in, and there are different methods for getting that in there. And that's all fine and well and good, but I deliberately used the word disinfect. The tooth cannot be sterilized. Now, there are a lot of different ways to keep the bacteria population inside that tooth low. But once the root canal treatment is finished and they're all done disinfecting that, in the mainstream community, they consider that to be finished, complete root canal treatment. Then you go back to the restorative dentist or general dentist or whoever you're going to go to for the restoration of the top of the tooth, the part that sticks out into your mouth that you're going to chew on. After root canal treatment has been completed, the tooth will gradually become more and more brittle. So teeth that are in the back that you grind your food with have to be given a complete full coverage restoration. That can either be an onlay or a crown. Those are both considered full coverage restorations because they cover the entire biting surface or occlusal surface of the tooth and hold the tooth together while you eat with that tooth so that you don't split off a piece of the tooth as the tooth gets more and more brittle. Sometimes teeth already have little cracks, and sometimes the cracks are the reason that the nerve died. And if the crack goes down the root past a certain point, then you can't get a root canal. They won't do one for you, and you're going to lose that tooth. That's one of the reasons that, you know, sometimes it's a good idea to address cracks in the teeth before they either split too far down the root to be salvageable or you break off a big chunk, which is not fun to have happen. And it happens frequently. Okay, so what is so controversial about this? So the root is filled and the top of the tooth gets restored so it doesn't break. And you're good to go, right? The bone under the tooth where an abscess might have been is healing or has healed. It looks great on the x-ray. Doesn't hurt anymore. Okay, is that all finished? Are we done? The controversy starts now because the bacteria that continue to live in that tooth they're alive and they live off of diffused nutrients and they give off waste products called endotoxin. And the real controversy is this endotoxin that they give off, which diffuses out of their little hiding places and into your body, is that a problem? How toxic is it? That's where the controversy is. You have people who will say that it is no big deal. Your body deals with it. As long as it doesn't hurt and it looks okay on the x-ray, you're fine. Yes, they agree there are some bacteria there, but because the bacteria themselves don't cause any kind of acute problem, they don't escape from the tooth very often, and if they do, your white blood cells of your body take care of that, and so you don't end up with an infection or sepsis, fever, swelling, that kind of thing. They don't normally cause that. They can if the thing is failing. You can get swelling and infection around an old root canal. That can happen. They don't last forever. But you have another whole community of people and another entire and vast body of research that says that chemical, that group of chemicals that the bacteria give off that go into your body are highly toxic. Highly toxic. Poison. And can cause a variety of problems with your health. Those kinds of health problems tend to be difficult to treat and even more difficult to figure out what's causing it. And so there's a lot of shoulder shrugging and, you know, I don't know, sometimes people just get that illness and we don't really know what causes it. And here's medication to slow the progress of it or help you with symptoms or whatever. Or maybe if you're older, they just say, well, you know, that's just what happens when you get older. You get these kinds of illnesses. And so these things get explained away. But there is quite a bit of research that has been done that may be connecting root canal treated teeth with certain types of illnesses, diseases, chronic health problems, et cetera, et cetera. And the difficulty is in trying to figure out whether that root canal is causing that health problem. It is almost impossible to figure that out in a particular individual. Almost impossible. So what do you do? That's, you know, having that tooth removed is a big deal. That's an amputation of a tooth. Now what do you do? Now you got a space. What if it's a front tooth? What if you're 25 and, you know, you're looking at keeping a beautiful tooth that has a root canal versus having a front tooth removed? That is a huge deal. And it's a big deal if it's a molar and it's holding up a bridge, or it's, you know, you have jaw joint pain and problems and that tooth is the last thing that's keeping you stable. There are a lot of problems with removing teeth, and then the uncertainty of whether that tooth is actually the problem, the, you know, causing your health problem, which can't be proven. And so deciding to remove a tooth simply because it has a root canal based on theoretical risk and possible connections, that is a big deal. And a lot of people would rather just get the root canal, keep their tooth, and not, you know, delve into all of this. And then there are other people that under no circumstances would they get a root canal or keep a tooth that was not alive and well. So you've got all kinds of opinions across the spectrum on this. So I recommend that if you're facing the question of a root canal, first of all, is the tooth really at the point where that's your only option? Or are there things that can be done? How about ozone treatments or anti-inflammatories, or adjust the occlusion, or put on a temporary restoration that supports the tooth so that that crack is held tight, and then give it a little time? And does the nerve recover, or does it continue to degrade and symptoms increase? A lot of times, these teeth that are kind of on the fence about whether they are, you know, is the nerve dying or isn't it, people get just, you know, here's your referral to the endodontist. You know, you're having pain. It's probably going to get worse and die. Just go get the root canal. But is that really always the best strategy? Maybe it would be better to give every tooth their full opportunity to heal using alternative methods sometimes. Using alternative healing methods to see if we can get teeth to turn that corner and stabilize or improve and heal. If it's still having symptoms, that's one thing. But if it stops having symptoms and it's testing as vital or alive inside the tooth, then that tooth should continue to be monitored and watched and see what it does. Sometimes it'll take a turn south, and sometimes it will continue to be a good, viable tooth with no symptoms for many years. All right. It's time for a break. You're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. If you have any questions or you want to reach my office in Issaquah, give us a call, 425-427-8899, or you can reach us by email, appointments@naturaldentist.com. I'll be right back.
So how long has it been since you've been to the dentist? Yeah, I'm talking to you. I know, going to the dentist can be tough, but did you know that healthy teeth lead to a healthy body? I know what you're thinking. All dentists are alike. They lure you in for the free exam or, you know, complimentary cleaning. And before you know it, wham, huge dental bill. And did you even need all that work? Well, why not try a different approach? Natural Dental Health Associates in Issaquah specializes in taking care of you. Their easy, no-gimmick, honest approach to dentistry will have you forgetting you're actually in a dentist's office. And the best thing is, they're all natural. Yep, no mercury, nickel, or other harmful chemicals are used. Click on your media player now and get started on the road to better dental health today. Or call 425-427-8899. Natural Dental Health Associates is a proud sponsor of the Dental MD Radio Show, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Alternative Talk, 1150. Talk radio for the body, mind, and soul.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. Today I'm talking about controversies in dentistry. And in the last segment, I covered most of the big questions about root canals. And now I'm going to talk about what if you decide you've got this old root canal tooth, or maybe you don't have a choice. Maybe the tooth is cracked and it had a root canal 10 years ago and you've got a new infection around one of the roots because of the crack, or it's leaking, or I don't know, whatever. Something's happened to it and nobody will redo the root canal for you. So now you've decided, okay, you're going to have the tooth removed. Now, when that tooth is taken out, there is a controversy about what to do with the bone now that the tooth is out. Because the people that believe that these things are highly toxic will tell you, and you know, there's a lot of research supporting this view, that the toxins from the tooth that have emanated out of the tooth, from all those bacteria happily living inside the tooth, that is in the bone right around that tooth. And they believe that the bone is compromised there. And so they will recommend removing some of the bone from the socket where the tooth was, making the hole a little bigger. And then there are others that say, no, maybe we don't need to remove that bone, but you do need to remove all of the ligament tissue that was in there holding that tooth in the bone. That ligament tissue is soft tissue that will impair the filling in of bone in that area, and it could result in little pockets of unhealed bone if that ligament is left in there, because it creates a barrier to the socket filling in solidly after the tooth has been removed. So that seems to be less controversial. However, a lot of people, practitioners that extract teeth, do oral surgery, if they're in a hurry and they take a tooth out and then close it with some sutures or just pressure and gauze, you know, these things appear to heal without symptoms, whether they've removed the ligament or not. And so sometimes as a shortcut, they don't bother removing the ligament. But later, when you look at x-rays of that area, you can sort of see a little line where the tooth used to be in the bone. And there's like a little ghost that you can see exactly where that tooth was. And if you go in and remove a little sample of the bone in those areas, frequently it will come back from the lab saying immature or unhealed or incomplete healing of the bone. But there are no symptoms, so the mainstream conventional community pretty much feels that, you know, if it looks okay, and to them it looks okay on the x-ray, even when there's like a shadow of where the tooth used to be, because if it's solid on the top and the gum tissue healed over it, okay, they're like, okay, no symptoms, looks fine. But when they get in there maybe to do an implant, they might find that the bone's a little mushy down there, so then they just put some grafting material in and call it good. But is it good? Is that okay? Are there any problems with that? What's the research on it? There are a lot of people that feel that there's plenty of research showing that that is not a good policy. Do not leave the ligament in. Remove it so the bone can fill in completely and maturely and solidly. Because if you have these little pockets of unhealed bone, the theory goes that these will, it's actually possibly an osteomyelitis. It's actually an area of sort of necrotic, mushy, unhealed, maybe even not vascularized, which means no blood supply to these areas. And sometimes they're sort of diffuse through the bone and they don't look like much on an x-ray. But there are people that say that some health problems can be directly caused by these unhealed pockets of bone. So if you go into an oral surgeon and you say, if you don't mind, I would like my entire periodontal ligament curetted out, they will most of the time be terribly insulted by this, because you, the patient, are not supposed to be telling them how to do their job. And they can be insulted and offended. And you don't want to offend somebody that's about to pick up sharp things and do some treatments for you. So there are some oral surgeons and there are some general dentists that do extractions that know these things and will thoroughly clean out the socket. And, you know, it says in the textbooks to do that. But like I said, you know, over the years, the shortcut of just taking the tooth out and, you know, minimally curetting just to make sure there's no debris in there and then letting it heal over, which apparently has no symptoms afterwards, that's become a standard shortcut. Like, why are we bothering to curate all this out when it doesn't seem to make any clinical difference? Why spend the time? And so, it's a problem. It can be. And I have had patients who want to go and find someone to do surgery on these old extraction sites and get in there and re-clean them out. That is considered by the mainstream conventional dentist to be an unnecessary surgery and over-treatment. And they believe that the dentists that are doing these, you know, open it up and clean it out and get all the mushy half-healed bone out of there so it can heal properly, that's considered an unnecessary surgery by the majority. And so if their surgery is surgery, sometimes there are complications. If there's a complication from a surgery, which was considered to be an unnecessary surgery by the majority, that dentist that did that surgery is kind of toast in a lot of ways. It's really risky to do procedures that the majority think are unnecessary. And they will paint these dentists that do this as frauds, quacks, and doing unnecessary treatments and overcharging for it, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this has been a problem for many, many years. And a lot of patients who would like to have these areas resurgerized in order to promote more solid healing in the bone have a very hard time finding anybody that will do it. There are some states that there are more dentists doing this than others. Some people will go out of the country to get it done. It's, you know, what we need is a real honest conversation with all professionals, conventional and holistic, and really get all the research that's been done onto the table and have a real unbiased look at all of the research, because there's a whole body of research that gets completely ignored by the mainstream, who doesn't want to or doesn't consider it legitimate, doesn't consider the people that did the research legitimate. It looks to them like outlying, you know, odd research that doesn't complement or corroborate with the huge body of research that they believe exists that supports their point of view. And so they just disregard it. But what they don't realize is that there are actually reams and piles and, you know, there's a multitude of sources of that research that does not corroborate with the research they are aware of, that they've been told is legitimate research. Anyway, it's a problem. And it boils down to communication, as usual, because that's usually at the root of why these differences of opinion persist. If there's really good research on this, well, how come everybody doesn't know about it? That is, you know, now I'm showing you the door to the rabbit hole. So you can go down there if you want to. I'm not going to do that on the radio today. All right. So we're coming up on a break. You're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff, and today I'm talking about controversies in dentistry. If you have questions, give us a call, 425-427-8899, or you can reach us by email, appointments@naturaldentist.com. I'll be right back after this break.
So how long has it been since you've been to the dentist? Yeah, I'm talking to you. I know, going to the dentist can be tough, but did you know that healthy teeth lead to a healthy body? I know what you're thinking. All dentists are alike. They lure you in for the free exam or, you know, complimentary cleaning. And before you know it, wham, huge dental bill. And did you even need all that work? Well, why not try a different approach? Natural Dental Health Associates in Issaquah specializes in taking care of you. Their easy, no gimmick, honest approach to dentistry will have you forgetting you're actually in a dentist's office. And the best thing is, they're all natural. Yep, no mercury, nickel, or other harmful chemicals are used. Click on your media player now and get started on the road to better dental health today. Or call 425-427-8899. Natural Dental Health Associates is a proud sponsor of the Dental MD Radio Show, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Be sure to support the sponsors of your favorite shows on Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. Today, I am talking about controversies in dentistry, and I've covered root canals and surgery to remove root canals or remove any tooth, really, and what the controversies are around that. And you may not have even known that there were these, questions and arguments in the dental industry, but there are. And another one that is, I don't have a lot of time left in this show, so I'm going to pick another one that I think people don't really know much about, and that is expansion of the bone. So everybody pretty much knows, if you know anything about orthodontics, that expanders are done in children before the sutures finish supposedly closing and solidifying, the sutures of the skull, the bones of the skull. But there is a body of research that shows that you can expand the dental arches in adults, and it is not simply pushing the teeth out of the bone on the sides and causing recession and other problems. That can happen if it isn't done correctly. I'm not saying that doesn't happen or that it can't happen, but you can slowly and gradually expand the bony arches of the teeth, not pushing the teeth themselves, but pushing bone and making the arches, the dental arches, wider and shaping them. And it's a different process than in kids. In kids, you can do it a lot faster. And there is even, I still do it gradually in children, but you can do it rapidly. And it's called a rapid palatal expander. And the rapid palatal expander expands laterally. So just left and right are pushed apart. And it's only done on the upper arch traditionally. And it's done rapidly, and it's done with a metal appliance that is cemented onto the primary teeth, and you reach in there. It sits against the roof of the mouth, and it doesn't allow the tongue to go up against the roof of the mouth where it belongs. So it's a little bit in the way, but it's only in there for some number of weeks or something like that. I don't do those, so I don't know what the protocols are for them, but I know it's done in a few weeks. And you reach in with a screw and you turn a key and you turn the screw every day or every whatever, however many times per week. And you rapidly pull the two. Now, it's not painful. It's actually not uncomfortable. It sounds horrible, but it's not, because children's bone is much more flexible and pliable. So they literally just separate the two halves of the roof of the mouth and then hold them there once they're separated and to the degree that orthodontist or dentist wants. And then they hold it there while the bone heals and fills in at the midline. You cannot do that particular way of expansion in adults because the bone is much more solid. The suture is more stiff, but it still can move. It still can release. It still can expand and fill kind of as it goes. So you can change the shape of the dental arches in adults according to research that has been done since 3D imaging has been available to every dentist. It's been proven multiple times. There's research out there that shows that can be done. But for some reason, there in the mainstream conventional community, there is still this old idea that the bones of the skull in adults can't move, that they're finished. They've solidified. The bones don't move. But if you know anything about osteopathy, or have ever been to a craniosacral therapist, the bones of the skull, you can actually feel them move. You actually can, if you sort of put your hands gently on somebody's head and just sort of wait, you will feel some expansion and contraction that's very gradual. It's much slower than the breathing rate or the heart rate. But if you wait patiently and continue to try and just watch and listen for this movement, you will feel it. And the bones of the skull do move, and the dental arches can be expanded in adults. Now, this is important because the belief that the dental arches cannot be expanded is the justification for sending somebody into surgery to change the width of the arches surgically. So they go in and they cut the jawbone at the corners of the mandible, and they move the part that holds the teeth forward, and they take the upper arch and they cut it and move the parts that hold teeth to where they want them, and then they bolt it into place with screws and various hardware. And then they wire your teeth together and you heal. This is a horrific surgery, but it's very common. It's very common. And because they're moving the lower and the upper arch forward and expanding them laterally at the same time, usually the upper anyway, it does actually improve the airway, which is behind all of this. And so this has been a solution for people who have severe sleep apnea and can't tolerate CPAP or an appliance or whatever, or they choose, they don't want to wear an appliance or wear a CPAP. And so they go in and they have this surgery done to surgically make the airway bigger by moving the upper and lower jaw forward. That has become more and more common, but it's, you know, it's not without risk. This is really an intense type of surgery. And sometimes people can be left, you know, there are complications sometimes with this, such as numbness of the face and lips and tongue and things like that. Sometimes people have chronic pain afterward, but they can breathe, so they accept these complications usually. So if it's possible to expand dental arches without surgery, then that would actually eliminate some of these surgeries and make them unnecessary. But the conventional community insists that the dental arches and that the bones of the skull cannot be expanded or moved at all from where they are as an adult. So, you know, in the interest of operating according to the principles of natural medicine, if there is any way possible to avoid a surgical procedure and you can get something accomplished without a surgery, why go to the surgery? And a lot of times people will do the surgery because they don't believe that this other research exists. They either don't know about it, or they think it's been debunked, or they think it isn't good research, or they don't think there's enough research showing that. Whatever their reasoning is, it doesn't corroborate with what they've been taught and what they've been told all their professional careers, and so they don't believe it. And so I do think that it's possible that there are some unnecessary orthognathic surgeries that are being done, and that's my opinion. But I'm not alone in that opinion. And so if you're looking at that as one of your options, then please do your research, find out if there's another way to do it other than surgery, whatever it is you're looking at having done. All right, we're getting close to the end of today's show. You're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. There are lots of shows on these topics and others in the archives. And if you have questions for me, or you'd like to come in and have an exam or a second opinion or any of that, please give us a call, 425-427-8899. And if you prefer, you can email us your questions at appointments@naturaldentist.com, and we'll get back to you, and you can find out if what your options are, what all of your options are, and make your own choices and decisions for yourself and your family. All right. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next week.